Hallelujah. God is about to release great things into your life through the undiluted word you're about to listen to. Pay attention, as this sermon will grant you deeper understanding of God's word. And now, here is the undiluted word.
Another reason for the curse of God is willful disobedience. Willful disobedience. 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23, quickly. Willful disobedience will attract the curse of God. Willful disobedience. Samuel said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Willful disobedience. I know this is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyhow. Maybe we'll get the picture clearer if we read James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. Amen. No, it is understandable if you didn't know. And that's why the Bible says, where there was no law, there was no sin. But as soon as the law came into play, then men are judged. Because the law makes everyone a sinner. And sin is simply defined as breaking the law. Amen. And they say when you break the law breaks you. So, the first curse that was recorded in the Bible in Genesis 3, 14 to 19 came as a result of disobedience. And you know, the Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi 3, verse 6. There is no one that contends with God and prospers. No one fights with God and succeeds. No, it has never happened. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9. This one is strong. Isaiah 45, verse 9. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. That's what I'm talking about. No one contends with God and succeeds. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. You see, the day in the book of Acts of the Apostles that Herod the king gathered people together, it was a feast. And he began talking. And he was talking so authoritatively. He was a good speech maker. He was a good crowd puller. While Herod was talking, he had the gift of oratory. When he finished talking, they started clapping, shouting, and they said, this one is the voice of God. Herod could have said to them, shut up. But Herod enjoyed it and said, wow. And while he was still listening and enjoying the clap ovation they were giving to him, the Bible said God gave him a knock from heaven. And Herod died on the throne and immediately was eaten up by worms. You know, somewhere in Acts of the Apostles, Paul and Timothy, they had gone to Athens and they preached so powerfully. And there was a great manifestation of power. And the Bible said when men saw the workings of God through Paul, they said the gods have come to us in the likeness of men. So they went and brought things to come and start pouring libation. And Paul shouted on top of his voice and said, no, you men of Athens, you are superstitious in everything, but we are not gods, but men. We are fellow men. Touch me. I'm a human being. I'm not a god. You know, some persons would have carefully collected that glory. But no, they won't. And every time man contests the glory with God, that man doesn't live to see the next day. Because the Bible says, I am the Lord. My name is Jehovah. My glory, I cannot share with all. I can share my blessing, but not my glory. So the day this man accepted to be God, God killed him. The day Nebuchadnezzar said, let me see that God that will deliver you, God entered the fire. The day Pharaoh said to Moses, who is that God that is talking this nonsense? He turned their waters to blood. Who is that God? He made them to have diseases from their head down to their bum bum. Who is that God? God showed himself so much so that the magician said to Pharaoh, this one is the finger of God. And Pharaoh was still trifling with him. And God said, I'm going to kill all your firstborn. And when that was done, he knew that there is a God greater than Pharaoh. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Unto him that said to his maker, there's nothing you can do. And you know, somebody may say, but can anybody ever say that to God? We may not say it verbally, but sometimes our action is a direct affront to the personality of God. Praise God. It's a direct affront. You know that somebody can enter the church and bring a girlfriend and sleep in the church somewhere. That's an affront to your maker. It's an affront. The church is God's church. And you feel you can just do whatever you want to do. That's an affront. And that's why the Bible says, woe unto everyone that striveth with his maker. Anyone that is contending that, you know, Solomon says it is only a fool that says in his heart that there is no God. What that means, he does things, behaves as if there is no God. Amen. And I told us a story that I read from a book. How a pastor took his secretary out and then went for a program, and the hotel room he was lodging told the secretary to come in. But before the lady came, he looked left, looked right to be sure that nobody was around before he could open the door. And the lady says, sir, you have looked left and right. Have you looked up? Praise God. You know, sometimes, you know, we have been taught to look only left and right. I'm teaching you now to also look up. Because when you look up, before your eyes come down, you will know that there's a man whose eyes moves to and fro the earth. So the eyes of God is like half past 4 hours. It doesn't rest. Bam, bam, bam. Just look at this, the hand of the clock, the second hand. That's how the eyes of God moves. He looks here now. He looks here now. Why is he looking at America right in the presidency? He's looking at Asu Rock. From there, he looks, he just looking. And you know, we need to be so afraid of this God. Because the Bible says he sees very clearly in the thickest darkness. Amen. He doesn't need lenses. He sees very clearly. So affront. Certain things people do. I'll do this thing. Nothing will happen. Abiram, Dothan, challenged Moses. They said to Moses, this one you are behaving like. You are behaving as if you are the only prophet here. Moses, don't you know we come from the tribe of the Levite? And Moses said, if I be a man of God, you will not die a normal death. And as soon as Moses finished talking, the earth opened. God buried them by himself, conducted their funeral. Amen. You know, God killing you and burying you, what a honor. He buried them without notice, without obituary announcement. They didn't need to go to the mortuary. He just buried them. So they went back to hell alive. Praise the Lord. It's a dangerous thing to fall into the hands of the Lord. That's what the scripture says. Another reason why people come under the curse of God is idol worship. Idol worship. And now, this is very important because this will draw our attention to certain areas in our life. Idol worship. I've mentioned two reasons why people come under the curse of God. I said number one, unrighteousness. Or you call it wickedness. And number two, willful disobedience. Willful disobedience. And then number three, idol worship. Exodus 20 verse 3 to 5. And Deuteronomy 27 verse 15. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. Idol worship. This one is a direct affront to God. When people begin to bow themselves to something different from God, it casts aspersion on the integrity and the credibility of the person of God. And God says, I'm jealous. You see, when you want to marry a lady or a brother, a sister or a brother, and then when you are talking with the sister, she tells you first and foremost, he said, there's something I want to tell you. He said, what is that? He said, I'm a jealous woman. Oh, guy, you should know. This one, she's announcing it. I'm a jealous woman. That means she may even bite you if you go too close to your mother. Amen. Come, do you know that there are some women, some wives, that don't want their husband too close to their own sister? She knows that it's the husband's sister, but don't go too close. Because she has told you, I'm a jealous woman. And the other man say, I'm a jealous brother. You should just go and ask God for grace. Grace for loneliness. Praise God. And God is saying, I am a jealous God. I'm so jealous that I want to be God alone. I'm so jealous that I want to be the ultimate in your life. I'm so jealous that I don't need a neighbor in your heart. That's what God is saying. I'm that selfish when it comes to my person. I want to have you alone, just me and you. So when you bring anything that will contain or contest my place in your life, you are in trouble with me. Amen. God said, when a father does this, I will be so angry with the father that I will punish him. And the punishment will not be enough because his lifetime will be too short to contain the punishment. So I will carry the punishment over to his children, and then their children will not even live long enough to take all the punishment. I will take some to their grandchildren, and their grandchildren will not even live long enough. Then I will finish it with their great-grandchildren. It is after I punish their great-grandchildren I can be at peace. And you still want to get that kind of bargain. Deuteronomy 27 verse 15. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Deuteronomy 27, verse 15. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image an abomination unto the Lord. You see, there's a thin line between becoming an idolater, worshipping an idol, and serving God. And people must be very careful, because certain religious articles are gradually becoming like gods for people. Some persons can do without God, but not without anointing oil. So he has become a man with a bottle. He believes more on the oil than he believes in God. Be careful that you don't fall into idolatry. You have a chaplet you pray with. God is saying, curse be any man that maketh any graven or molten image an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and put it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say amen. So when you see, especially in some spiritual houses, they say something is wrong with you, and that thing needs for you to go and keep a small table in your house, cover it with white cloth, put a basin either under or on top and keep a bear. That's the solution. And there are some people who are deacons, who are elders, who are deaconesses, who have such things in their houses. Amen. Some, they say, tie this bead. So some people, even while they are dancing in the church, the bead they gave to them is shaking. And they believe. They said, keep it, just keep the table. It's not a sin. There's nothing you are doing. But just keep it there. And you keep it there. And you discover that as soon as you do that, you take that place to be a very important place in your house. That is how Satan is moving people into idolatry from the church. Because that's how Satan is using pastor, prophet, apostles, to change people from worshiping the real God to having an idol. You create a room for Satan, and God is saying, anyone that does it, and to make matters worse, create a secret place for it, then you are in trouble. There is a curse upon any man who worships idols. This curse extends to the man's children, even to the fourth generation. And this is the reason many people are suffering without knowing that the reason was due to what transpired before they were born. You see, when a family worships idol, they normally enter into covenant with such idol to protect them, to prosper them, including generations unborn. And many times this is the mistake of our forefathers, because they didn't do the thing just for themselves. They called us in when we were not yet conceived. So a great grandfather is saying, all my children and all my grandchildren, I give them over to you. And you know that God's spirits are very jealous. Spirits. You see, when God says, I'm a jealous God, God is the father of all spirits. And every spirit is jealous. So that's why it is not easy to drive a spirit. You need to forcefully remove a spirit from where it is. Spirits want to stay forever. They want to own you. You see, when you see a woman or a man that is possessed by a water spirit, the water spirit says, she is my wife. Bah. We used to have a brother in our church. Then, the sister I got married to was so possessed that this brother said, in the night, both himself and the wife are sleeping on the bed, and he will wake up, see himself on the ground. Not once, not twice. I mean, the water spirit that was marrying the wife was so bold that he can enter the house without paying dowry. He entered the house of the man, removed the man from the bed that he bought, and dropped him on the floor and slept on the bed. I mean, something happening physically. And unfortunately, that man didn't pay dowry for that woman. That could also be the right why that spirit was getting so much right. After all, he never paid anything. Praise God. Because, of course, that's the subject for another day. Do you know that dowry is spiritual? No. Dowry is spiritual. Right from the first marriage, Adam didn't marry for free. Because somebody who doesn't know the Bible will tell you, did Adam pay dowry? Why do you think God had to take bone from Adam's ribs? That was the dowry he paid. God had enough bone to have created Eve. But he took something from Adam. Adam lost something in order to get something. So when you pay dowry, he gives you a kind of right over a woman, and you can say certain things to certain spirit. And say, spirit, tell me, did you pay anything on her head? Based on the dowry I paid on my wife, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave her alone. That alone gives you a legal ground. But that man didn't pay. So the spirit had the right to keep him on the ground. The spirit, without apology, he said, now you get the bed, but now me get the woman. It was like that. I mean, it was happening very regularly. Very regularly. Amen. So spirits are very jealous. That's the area I'm going. So when our fathers worshiped those spirits, they brought us in. I say, how can that be possible? Scripture said in the book of Genesis, when Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek, that Levite was in his loins. In other words, the tithe of Abraham spiritually had a covering. Levite was a fourth generation. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Levite. Fourth generation. That's what the tithe. So a curse can cover four generations. A blessing can also cover four generations. Praise the Lord. Are you understanding anything? Now, I like you to understand that every person has two parents, four grandparents, eight great-grandparents, and 16 great-great-grandparents. Every person has two parents, father and mother, four grandparents, the father and the mother of your mother, the father and the mother of your father. How many is that? Four grandparents, every person. And then you have eight great grandparents. And then you have 16 great great grandparents. If you put all together, that's about 32. So between these 32 persons, somebody must have worshipped idol. So that's why you understand that it is not easy for a typical African not to come under the curse of idol worship. So that's why we consciously, unconsciously, directly separate ourselves from every transaction our forefathers may have entered on our behalf without our consent, especially when you become a child of God. It takes at least 30 persons to make up four generations. 30 persons to make up four generations. Some of us are the first believers in this fourth generation. Billy Graham and some very renowned pastors and evangelists in the West. One of them was saying that he's a fourth generation preacher. Fourth generation preacher. So that tells you the background he's coming from. Fourth generation preacher. In other words, his great-great-great father was a preacher. His great-great was a preacher. His great was a preacher. His grandfather was a preacher. His father is a preacher. And he is a preacher. You can't compare your life. You that your great-great-grandfather was the chief of all the native doctors in the community. Your father came and took over and became the deputy chief native doctor. And then you are just the first person that knows Jesus. You know the people you need to fight. No be small thing. Praise God. So we understand some of the background we are coming from. Amen. Today I can say I'm a second generation preacher. If my children come and preach, the third generation preacher. So with that, you discover that the fourth generation, my own fourth generation, can have things much more easier than I had. Because to come from the generation of native doctors, idol worshippers, and it's only you that try to know Jesus, there are a lot of forces that are contending with you. A lot from those other 28 people. And you need to fight them. God will cure our cause in Jesus' name. So consider what might have happened among the 30 persons who form your lineage. Idol worship includes occultic involvement, making charms for protection, making protection ring, incisions. The cause may be as a result of consultation with spiritualists or white garment sects, where you are led to perform certain sacrifices and throw certain materials into the river to get certain problems solved. Praise God. So, the cause idol worship can involve making sacrifices. Incision. Incision means cutting your body. Some people, you see their back here, they have cut seven, And you know, when a native doctor makes an incision, there is something they always put. When they open your body and blood comes out, there is something they put. They mix it with ash and put it there. Praise God. That is just like you have been given something that makes you perpetually own. So anywhere you enter, it shows. In most native doctors, except now that they have modernized, if you visit a native doctor, as you go, sometimes they draw a circle on the ground, either with white chalk, and ask you to enter. So you step into the circle. That simply means they are putting you within their reach perpetually. So you see that circle, they put you within their reach. Anytime you are needed, they can get you. Amen. So idol worship, visiting spiritualists, white garment churches, they ask you, come to the river, tie this guy wrapper in the night, do this. In Akwa Ibom, there's what they commonly call ugbugugbong. And people prophesy it as prophecy and say it is God. They say, go and buy a wrapper, go and buy this, go and buy this. They will dig ground and put certain things, and they say it is your soul that they are exchanging, exchange of soul. And people do it. They say, I've done the assignment. Have you ever wondered that after doing the assignment, the problem increased? Praise God. It increased. Amen. The Lord help us. God will break curses from our lives. In Jesus' name.
Beloved, thank you for taking time to listen to God's word. We trust you've been blessed. This message was brought to you by Pentecostal Deliverance Church. located at 65 Stadium Road, opposite Mummy B Junction, Rumomasi, Port Harcourt. You can get our Sincere Milk Devotional and Believer's Training Class Manual and other inspiring and life-transforming audio messages from our church book stand located in the church premises or through our website www.pdconline247.com. Furthermore, our church activity schedule is as follows: Monday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. counseling; Wednesday, 6 p.m. School of Wisdom; Friday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting; Sunday, 8 a.m. lifting service. If you would like to reach us via call, our helplines are 080-3389-0315 and 080-6935-5639. God bless you.